If we were to identify the milestones of human communication that changed the way we broadcast and receive information, what would those be? Well, their evolution began with a breakthrough in human knowledge preservation and storage, the book. Next, the birth of conversational media, the telephone. Real-time communication was possible despite the huge distance that separated the people involved. The third, recorded media, image and sound, and finally, the moving image. Information encoded in physical objects. And then, the newspaper, providing information on a daily basis, and later, radio and television that made it possible to broadcast image and sound. Mass media. Now there's another revolution happening in front of our eyes, the internet, which is becoming a carrier for all the other media encoded in virtual bits, accessible anywhere by anyone, on a computer, on an iPad, or a mobile phone. And on the internet, the consumer becomes the producer. You can share and upload your own information. The ability to communicate with others while avoiding the censorship of mainstream media has played a crucial part in revolutions in Islamic countries. But if anyone can do anything on the web, is it safe? And where's the boundary between right and wrong? Since the internet isn't controlled by anyone, people can upload vicious content full of insults, racism, and offensive material. They can do whatever they like. In 2010, the internet contained 1 zettabyte of information. Imagine 90 stacks of books from the ground all the way up to the sun. That is an abundance of data. Perhaps then you might get an idea of it. How much of that is just junk, and which materials have educational value? The web changes the way we learn. It's not about erudition and wisdom. It's about providing a resource and accessing information on the spot. Amongst the trash, we can find the world's largest encyclopedia, taking advantage of the internet's collective intelligence. People can gather online and create communities. They can collaborate to help a region that has just suffered from a natural disaster, or they can band together to cause havoc and destruction by using massive brutal force. Whole services can be taken down, data and even money can be stolen. For the first time, the internet enables many-to-many communication. On the web, you can share and communicate in many ways, in private or in public. Shouldn't we be afraid that this may discourage us from having a face-to-face conversation? Can indirect communication replace real-life relationships with other people? On the web, it's sometimes more than saying, "I'm here." What's the real value of having so many friends online when they mean so very little to us in real life? Can love flourish in the virtual world and then be carried through to the real one? How can we tell if a person online is really what he claims to be and trust him if anyone can have multiple virtual identities? Should we have the same identity in both realities? And as we shape the technologies, aren't they shaping us? The way we build relationships with others and see the surrounding world? But what about the people that don't use new technology by choice or just because they can't? Are they missing something? Or are they free from waiting for another fix of a virtual thrill, free from suffering information overload, and able to make more accurate choices? The internet is a vast new resource, and when you enter an unknown territory, remember to come prepared. Both opportunities and threats await on the other side.